gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Nobody help me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Uh-oh. Welcome to it.
Six Bless minutes. Your heart.
I'm fine. Everything's fine. Nobody help me. Oh, look at this. I'm going to use that as my excuse. I have my first cat-related injury. There you go, Ustream. Check it out. I'm bleeding. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number.
That looks like a puncture wound. Usually cats just give you a surface wound.
Because, you know, I'm new to cats, as you know. So.
Oh, you picked it up the wrong way, didn't you?
Well, first of all, don't call it an it.
Well.
But, okay, you need to tell me where the line is when cats think you're playing, and then it's somehow they get very serious. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a point where you think, oh, we're just playing, and then they get really pissed off.
No, don't play very long with a cat. That's the thing.
No, little man, my girlfriend Lisa's cat, little man, is like a puppy.
Right.
He's so affectionate. I told you he grows a giant cartoon arm and bangs on the door to while I'm napping. To come in and snuggle. Oreo, on the other hand, is like, she's a little, okay, there's a sound that I need to go to cat school or something, because there's okay, and that means run for your friggin' life. Run. But she seems all flirty and like she wants you to, and so I was like, oh, and then it was like, yeah, and and I'm bleeding now.
What?
Yeah, it became a point where it's a, you know, like when you play the feather game?
Yeah. Oh, the cats
like you're
love
having
that.
Fun. Well, that's sure for her, but then she gets really mad. It somehow it seems to excite her, and then she needs to draw blood.
What you need to do is get they make these cat toys that are on long sticks.
Oh
with
no,
a string
I need a longer stick
and a feather on the end of that.
I need a stick that like I can put her in the neighbor's house, and she could. All right, Representative John Yarmuth on the big show. Charlie Pierce, a sexy liberal himself, John Fugelsang, going to come in the New York bureau. Hopefully hours 2 and 3, and Alan Grayson.
Yep.
My longtime love, all on the big show today. All right. And John Fugelsang, because Aisha, I know, somebody wrote me. Aisha Tyler is on the, what is it?
The Talk this week.
So I have to tune in.
It's on CBS.
Because she's the best thing that's ever been invented.
Check your local listings, because it's on at different times in different markets.
Yes. So anyway, she can't come in today, which I know is very sad.
Yep.
Because as you know, I'm very awkwardly overenthusiastic about her in a totally non-gay way.
And I think she has noticed that and has not come in for the last
month
because of that.
Greg shares my feelings. Mama, we miss her. How dare she have a career and not be able to get up at stupid and insane o'clock to rappel off the side of the building to work for free? I know, right?
Yeah.
Right? Oy. What a love is that. We forlornly wear our boogity boogity cheese t-shirts.
I wore mine yesterday.
I know you did. Just waiting for her to come back.
Although I do listen to her podcast. It is a fantastic.
She's hilarious.
No,
she will be back. She is just, I have to tune in and watch her. She is filling in all week on the.
On the Talk.
Yes, but who else is on that?
Julie Chen, Sharon Osbourne, and, Darlene from Roseanne.
Sarah Gilbert,
yes.
Okay, not the Little House on the Prairie Gilbert, the other Gilbert.
Right.
But not the one that I apparently had a spat over her husband with.
I think they're related,
the
two Gilberts. I think
I didn't know that.
I think they are. Don't quote me on that.
I won't.
Okay.
Who cares? Anyway. but I had to ask you to Google it because I'm such an idiot. For some reason, I just turned on the television thinking I would just find Aisha magically yesterday. I'm like, what time is it on? Oh, it's not on now. Oh, well.
Here in Los Angeles, it's on the afternoon, I believe.
Think so. All right. Okay, it's John from Atlanta. Steph, my wife, and I drove up from Atlanta on Saturday for the Sexy Liberal Show in Asheville. You guys are awesome. By the way, can I just say, we have to make some Steph Heads t-shirts. There were people there that was their fourth Sexy Liberal Show.
Holy crap.
Been to Detroit, been to Chicago, been to... because it's different every time.
Yeah.
It's always freshly pulled from my ass.
Yep.
Topical, a little bit local, you know. All right, with all of Steph's travel woes and the added responsibilities of chaperoning her mom and entertaining her way younger supermodel girlfriend, she's not a model. She's a very successful realtor. And on the board of the Trevor Project. All right. She may have missed this item in the Providence Journal. Rhode Island Republican State Senator Daniel B. Gordon, who blamed alcohol and legal problems on combat stress sustained in the 1991 Gulf War, already a stretch, turns out never served in the Gulf, according to his military records.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. He was arrested at a home owned by his current girlfriend, the same woman who told the Fall River Police in 2004 that he tried to kill her when she called him a loser for failure to find employment. That's our Republican friends. That was kind of a stretch in the first place, combat stress from the Gulf War.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a stretch already. Particularly if you did not serve in the Gulf War. That's also...
Well, that's the bigger stretch. Hmm. I'm sure there was some trauma.
I guess he was a little catchy about his unemployment.
Yeah.
Just a skosh. Mary in Rosemead, California, writes... Oh, this is another sexy liberal. People looking at the pictures on sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal Facebook. Steph, your 88-year-old Republican mom looks great. She really does.
Yeah, she does.
With no work. As she will tell you, I've had lots of work done. She hasn't.
Maybe a little henna rinse.
That doesn't count as work.
Okay.
God bless her. We have seats row F, house seats 25 and 20-something. Let me write that down. The Wadsworth on Saturday, October 22nd here in L.A. as the official fraternity house mother of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah.
Chris and my son were frat brothers.
That's
at ASU.
Right.
Can we have a shout-out? All right, Mary.
Big
shout
old
out.
Shout-out to Mrs. Dickinson and Nick.
Shout out. Roland, tour director, says it's going a little crazy, tiny crazy in Los Angeles. We only have a few tickets left for Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Only Friday tickets left.
Los Angeles. Stephanie Miller told you she wanted to love you in the most inappropriate ways. You showed your love right back. And now, after selling out the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in just 5 days, here she goes again.
Subtle plans are here again.
On October 21st at the Wadsworth Theater, welcome the second coming of John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks' second childhood, and Stephanie Miller, who lost her Los Angeles virginity at last.
On second thought, I realize that I'm very much interested in politics.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. So drop that box of wine and get yourself up early to score your final chance to be a part of this liberal left coast love fest.
I will not make this offer again.
Los Angeles, come get your heaping helping of sexy liberal seconds. They're guaranteed not to be sloppy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. And Seattle, up next, there's a few tickets left for Friday, September 30th. That's this Friday to celebrate Mama's
50th.
Which is Thursday. So, just a few tickets left for Friday. Saturday's already sold out, but it's the big month. We've got Seattle, Los Angeles, and San Francisco Sexy Liberal this month.
You are 2 days away from actually being 50.
Shush. I talked to my 88-year-old mom yesterday, who very much enjoyed Asheville, and as I said earlier, thank God for hearing aids, because my mom, the problem was magically solved. She heard virtually nothing.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, Steffi, I wrote down some, I had some questions. It's so enjoyable. But now, when the how is on top of you, what is that? I was like, Mom, it's not important. It's teabagging. It's not. And she's like, oh, dear, what is that? She still didn't get it, even with the demonstration. I'm like, oh, Mom, it's nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, dear, well, I didn't really understand that. What was that? I'm like, well, it's the part where a man puts his in your... Never mind. Mom, you know what? It's not important now. I made up a thing with a guy that I had to do that I couldn't talk to her anymore about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your cat had to attack you or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Keep back.
Everybody get up on your feet. You can't see this if you're in your seat. It's at the Sexy Liberal Show. Well, Steph will show you something if you don't know. She's teabagging. She's teabagging. She's teabagging. She's teabagging.
All right, thank you, Mike and Raleigh. That was lovely. Belong to my mom. Wow. Okay. Oh, and then the other thing, she was like, and what is the other thing when you're lying on the stage? And it's the bit about where I'm in therapy because of my mommy issues. I was like, oh, that's just a thing. Oh, you didn't hear that? I'm in therapy.
You felt it was appropriate to do that in front
she
of your mother?
She couldn't hear it.
Well, you couldn't be completely sure of that. She may have gotten a new model since you saw her last. Wow.
No, she's just. Anyway, oh, Mom, that's not important now. Mm. All right. Oh, Mary in Chicago with some cat tips. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. Actually, I had a question.
Okay.
Not a cat tip. The sound that you made, the that the cat makes is the sound that my puppy bloodhound makes when we, like, kind of snuggle with her. And she only doesn't do it to my husband. And I was wondering if it means something different for a cat than for a dog, because we're not sure she's going to explode or something.
Yeah, that's what, well, I found out the hard way. I had to bleed to find out the answer to what does that sound mean.
Okay.
Because I thought it might be indigestion or what's that?
So maybe we should not be snuggling like that with the puppy.
I think it's a dog thing is a totally different than a cat thing. A cat, when it makes a suspicious noise, I think it all is code for run the for your life. Because I'm going to kill you.
No, my cat doesn't make that noise.
Really?
No.
All right.
Okay.
Mary, I think the bloodhound's safe. If it's a puppy, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but it's weird. She doesn't do it with my husband. She only does it with my kids and me. And so I think it's purring.
Well, I apologize if I'm wrong and it involves a trip to the emergency room.
Apologize in advance. Stephanie sent me.
But that's what you get for calling me for advice. I love you, Mary.
Love you, too.
All right, goodbye. What the hell do I know?
Yeah.
Or at least, unlike Dr. Laura, at least I admit I give really bad advice. I'll keep doing calling me about anything.
Right.
All right. Actually, she does it to Lisa, too, who, you know, is her owner, technically, for years.
Well.
Like, Lisa actually said the other day, I'm afraid to do my work because she was on her computer, and every time she moved her hand, the cat tried to, snap it off. So So she's terrified of her. I'm terrified of her. Max, my 1,000-pound Great Pyrenees, is also terrified of her and just goes around her rather than...
Well, at least your cat makes a noise before he attacks. My cat just stalks
Stealthy
me.
Stealthy? Ninja?
Yeah. You know, I walk around the corner and BAM! Just wraps himself around my ankle.
It's like a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great. At least you get warning. I don't.
Cats do tend to, they just kind of... Like, you know what I mean? It's almost like that in Terminator.
Yeah.
Like the pole, I don't know where they are.
They
They're
squeeze
nowhere.
Under
They're
doors.
Invisible.
Yeah.
They're like a little pile of molten lava or something, and then suddenly they just reanimate.
Yeah.
In order to, yeah.
Well,
creepy,
morning I take a shower, and then, you know, I'm done taking a shower, open the shower curtain, and whoa, no, there's the cat. Oh, jeez.
Cats like to get you when you're particularly vulnerable. All right.
I have a Gilbert update.
What's that?
Melissa and Sarah Gilbert are adopted sisters.
Awesome.
Just so you know.
Terrific. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I ran into
Sarah?
Melissa? Yes, hiking a few weeks ago.
Really?
Oh, I have to tell you who else I ran into hiking.
Oh.
Big name.
That's a tease.
Yeah, a few weeks ago. I'll tell you. I forgot to tell you. Oh, and it's Erie Y.
Okay.
I don't think this segment has made any sense. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the, Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I knew Sue in Rockville, Maryland would know what that cat sound is. Hello, Sue.
Good morning and a very early happy birthday to you.
I'd like
to tell you the next decade will do well by you, but being exactly a decade older than you, I'll send you a separate email.
Okay, thanks.
But cat talk, I understand completely. Chris, I'm surprised you don't remember. This cat sound is cat talk for butkus.
Oh!
My brothers used to yell butkus, which referred to the feared tackler. Dick Butkus was my cue to run from my... life, before he tackled me. Thank you. All right, Sue. Thanks for that. I think Dick Bunker used to do the same thing with his back legs that you just explained, because you said watch the cat's back legs,
because
that's how it breaks the mouse's neck.
Well,
when Dick Bunker's or a cat's back legs.
Right.
Well, Dick Bunker only has one set, but my point is, when they're coiled like that,
Dick
Bunker's
legs
life.
Were stronger than his arms.
Sure.
So when a cat catches a mouse, it lies on its back and holds the mouse with its front paws.
Cats are terrifying.
But then it bicycles the mouse with its back.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, legs.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it kills it.
Okay, so I'm lucky I got away with just a Band-Aid.
Yes, you are.
Oh, all right, my hiking story. Okay, so how much do you and Jim mock me for my dated movie references?
Quite a bit.
A lot?
Yes.
Okay, so was it last week? Don't even ask me. And now I couldn't even, in my flapping Chardonnay-soaked wires that comprise my brain, I couldn't even vaguely remember why I made reference to the movie Frances. Because I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, didn't she go crazy in that movie?
Yes, it got institutionalized. That probably was something to do with
Jessica
me.
Did you see Jessica Lange?
Yes!
Oh, no!
The same day.
I love her.
What are the chances? I make a movie reference about Frances, and you guys are like, when was that movie? And it was a while ago. I'm hiking. And she was with a friend, and they had, like, kids with them, and they were looking at my dogs. And
right?
I was like, oh, my God.
Like,
oh, can we pet your dogs? I was like, sure. And I was like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I totally
I
gaped
love
out.
Her.
Yeah, and she looked at me like I was a freak that
of
I
course.
Am.
Of course.
Yes. Well, I said, oh, my God, are you Jessica? And she said, yes. And she seems like just like the way you would think she seems.
Yeah.
Kind of shy like she seems in the movies.
Right, right.
And I said, oh, my God, I love you. I said, I just was talking about how much I love Frances this morning on the air. And she looked at me like I was a giant freak.
Yes.
Because I don't think she didn't know who I was. She just was like, thank you. Because it's not the most current movie to bring up of hers.
You probably should have brought up the series that's probably debuting this week that she's in.
And what's the last big movie she did?
Well,
it was just so random that I said, oh, my God, I loved Frances. And she just was like...
I think she was in White Oleander, but that was a little while ago.
Yeah. No, she's in another big one recently that I was like... And later, as I'm hiking, I'm like, oh...
I love you in King Kong!
You should have also... No. they hate it when you mention movies from like 20, 30 years
ago.
Yeah, I know. Like they haven't done anything since. But I think she won an Oscar for that. Or she was nominated for Frances. She was amazing.
And I think she won for Blue Sky, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
Love that movie. Holy cow.
You know what? I have to Google her now because there's other movies I'm thinking of. But there was one that was more recent. It was a big one. I thought, oh, that was bad. Hopefully I'll run into her again hiking.
Yeah.
And I will have Wikipedia'd her by then.
But she,
and
she,
I will give an updated geek out.
She's in a brand new series on FX called American Horror Story. She's supposed to be really, really good in it.
It's another edition of That's So Random on the Stephanie Miller. That is so random that I made a Frances reference and I ran into Jessica Lange hiking. I'm just saying.
I
think it's God's way of saying that you and Jim should not mock me for my movie references. It's God's way of saying that was a great reference. And here is Jessica Lange to prove it to you that that was a brilliant analogy to the movie where she got into... All right.
Well,
all right.
I would have plotzed had I seen her, so...
I did plot.
I know.
I had a little whoops. Hello, Carrie in Houston.
Hey there. Mama, I have some cat tips for you.
Oh, thank you.
I've had cats my entire life. There have been cats everywhere. I've never been a dog person. So the thing about cats is that they're not completely domesticated. Okay.
Grey Gardens. Oh my God, Carrie. This just went magically full circle. Jessica Lange, you're talking about cats, and I saw Jessica Lange in Grey Gardens was the movie she was in with all the cats. Remember?
Yes.
And I just saw Jessica. Oh, come on. It's awesome. All right. Carrie, hang on a second. I'm going to have to get more cat tips. I got overexcited. And that was going to be her tip. Don't overexcite a cat too much.
Maybe you can get a cat tip from Representative John Yarmouth, who's coming up next.
Oh, good one. Nicely done.
Uh-huh.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Have you been drinking?
Yes. Have you been aging?
Oh, boy. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our show's like it's an audio lava lamp. Like, it makes sense if you concentrate.
Yep.
Because magically, we've been talking about cats because I came in with a cat-related injury.
You did.
Yes. And then I was talking about that I ran into Jessica Lange hiking. It all magically came full circle with Grey Gardens, which the chat room was screaming while I was furiously looking for that reference of what more current movie I should have complimented her for. All right. Oh, and we have the Jessica Lange fun facts, because I said she was nominated for an Oscar for Frances.
Right. But she won a Best Supporting Actress for Tootsie.
Yes.
And won Best Actress for Blue Sky.
Yes.
Which I highly recommend.
Okay. So that's what... See, I was vaguely sort of right.
Yeah.
I think it would have been worse if I said I loved you in Tootsie, because that's, you know, that was even less, I don't know. Okay. But it was a little random that I just blurted out I loved Frances.
Yeah.
If you had that moment to redo, when you run into a favorite movie star, I could have redone.
That still doesn't top when you met Kevin Costner.
We're not talking about that anymore. Carrie in Houston has to finish up her cat tips for me, because this involves my life and livelihood. Hello, Carrie.
Thanks, Mama. Okay. So, because they're still a little wild, you have to keep that in mind. When you're playing with them, they get all riled up. If you keep playing with them, they get more and more excited, yeah. and then they have to attack something. And if you're the closest thing, they're going to attack you.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of back off before they get that excited. Oh.
Yeah, see, there's a point where they consider it, you think it's a game, and then they get very serious, and it involves your death at some point.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? It does actually remind me of my Republican brother, because he would call things games, you know, like the butt kiss. But, and really, the game, it was a game for him. For me, it was run for your life before I tackle you and probably disable you in some way.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Carrie. That's succeed. That's Cass, like my Republican brother. You remember the game? He hung me.
Yeah.
That was, to him, a game, something he saw in a Western. To me, not really. Not so much fun. All right, this is the weirdest intro Representative John Yarmouth of Kentucky has ever had.
I'm sure.
However, he's an old friend. Good morning, Representative Yarmouth.
Good morning, Stephanie. I think you're right about that.
But, you know, I have to tell you, you appreciate our show because your constituents are funny. My favorite moment I heard when the president gave the speech in front of the bridge was when he called that bridge functionally obsolete. Someone yelled out, just like Boehner.
Like Boehner, yeah.
Come on, that's funny.
It was very funny.
Even our hecklers are smart and funny. I thought that was a great speech, though, and just a great piece of politics as well, because, it, fair game, right?
Well, exactly, and he made no bones about it. He said the reason he was there was because the two people who were standing in the way of a national effort to rebuild our infrastructure were the two people whose jurisdictions were bridged by that structure. So, yeah, he called it. You know, he was upfront about it, and I think it does put him on the spot.
Yeah, well, to me, it's like this is one of these things why. I understand. I mean, a new Gallup poll, you know, just talks about how I think people are getting so disgusted. And unfortunately, you know, it is not like both sides are the same. And I thought the president was really, you know, pointed on that yesterday, that you know, we're not getting anything done, but largely because of Republicans. That seems like a no-brainer, to put our out-of-work construction workers to work on bridges that are functionally obsolete in America. I mean, how is that okay with Americans?
Well, I don't think it really is. And of course, in my district right now, we have an even more dire situation than that bridge up there that in Cincinnati that's deteriorating. We have one that's been closed now for 2 weeks on a major interstate. 80,000 cars a day come across from Indiana and back and forth to Indiana, Kentucky, and They found flaws in the structure, cracks in some of the supports, and that bridge may be closed down for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all of that traffic is now being rerouted onto essentially the only other main bridge across the Ohio River, and people are now experiencing 2 and 3 times the commute time to get to their jobs or to get to their schools or whatever it may be. So it's an incredible impact directly on our community, on the economy, on our citizens. And again, this is what we're talking about. And this is happening in hundreds and hundreds of places around the country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about you. I was just saying to Chris, I mean, I can only imagine you being in Washington. I'm exhausted just watching what happens in Washington. I mean, you know, obviously the latest breaking news this morning, you know, a shutdown has been narrowly averted again. We've gone right to the brink again because of Republicans. You know, Congress finessed a dispute over disaster aid, which has never before, again, been taken hostage in our country to avoid a partial government shutdown only days away. Again, I mean, how do we govern in a constant state of crisis like this?
Well, you can't. And what's worse about this last incident was, you know, Boehner brought a bill to the floor last week. It was voted down with 40-something of his own members voting against it. And then instead of moving closer to Democrats, he moved farther away from Democrats. He actually cut more funding from the budget and just made it absolutely impossible.
Well, right, they don't even keep their word. They don't even agree to the cuts that they had just agreed to a month ago to avoid the last shutdown, and now it's like, you know, it literally is like cheating at the game Battleship. Do you remember that? That's what they do every time, you know? It's like...
Yeah, absolutely. And apparently when he was confronted with that thing, hey, you know, this was the deal you made, and he just kind of shrugged his shoulders at our leadership and said, well, that's where the way it is. So, you know, this is... You're right. The two sides aren't equal, and I think President Obama has finally figured that out and is now taking the battle It should be fun.
Right, and Congressman, obviously a lot of people excited about his, you know, very pointed critique. I don't know if it was yesterday or whatever, but I don't even think it's campaign mode. I think you're right. I think it's just he reached out and reached out and reached out, and now he's trying something different. It's that old, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. I mean, I'm glad that he's saying what the rest of us are thinking watching these debates. He said yesterday, has anybody been watching the debates? You've got a governor whose state is on fire denying climate change, talking about Rick Perry. You've got audiences cheering at the prospect of someone dying because they don't have health care and booing a service member in Iraq because they're gay. That's not reflective of who we are. This is a choice about the fundamental direction of our country. 2008 was an important election. 2012 is a more important election. And I agree, don't you?
Well, totally. And unfortunately, we are having now these great ideological arguments at a time when we really need to be dealing with some very acute problems. And there is a time to debate ideology, but not when bridges are falling down and not when people are going hungry and not when so many millions of people are out of work. That's the time you just say, we got to do what we got to do. We have responsibility to the country and to our citizens, and ideology is... You know, that's nice for a constitutional law classroom, but right now, let's deal with what we got in front of us.
Well, yeah, and as we know, Americans largely agree with the president on these issues. How do we get there, though? You know, whether it's the Buffett rule or whatever, Americans largely agree that you know, the top 1% should pay their fair share.
Yes, I mean, it is absolutely one of the biggest no-brainers I can imagine. And certainly when the president's now got so many people on his side with not just Warren Buffett, but Mark Cuban and many other very wealthy people, my old college classmate Stephen Schwarzman, they're all coming out and saying, yeah, tax us more. Apparently he had a fundraiser in New York the other day with all the Wall Street people there, and they cheered when he talked about this. So yeah. this is not something that's difficult. The people who've made so much money understand that they have to share in this effort to balance the budget and to get our country back on sounder footing. So it's just people, again, who are so ideologically rigid, or people who signed Grover Norquist's pledge, who are scared to death of somebody who really has no business having any power in this country.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Representative Yarmuth, always such a pleasure, and thanks so much for checking in. Just an important time, and I love that he went to your state and talked about that specific bridge, you know, because that is so, I mean, literally, the two guys on either side of it, Boehner and McConnell, are the ones stopping it. I mean,
that's right. And Mitch down here, when we had a joint appearance at the bridge that was closed, and he said, bridges and roads shouldn't be bipartisan. And he's right. They shouldn't be bipartisan. The only problem is that he doesn't want to pay for them.
Yeah.
He's all for bridges but doesn't want to pay for them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky. Thanks so much, Congressman.
Okay, Stephanie. Good luck with your cats.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. When it has cats, no, it always involves a little luck surviving and all. Yeah, let's get back to cat talk, shall we? Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, namesake sister.
Hey. Well, first of all, it's unfortunate that you don't have two Jehovah kitties like me.
Oh.
You had Jehovah kitties. The nice Jehovah kitties. Anyway. But seriously, mm-hmm. It takes about 2 weeks for animals to, you know, work out their issues when you bring in a new pet. So it's all going to work out fine.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Here, someone sent me a piece about how cats are like Republicans and dogs are definitely liberals. And I think that's true.
You know, the female cats are a little more persnickety. Male cats
yes.
are more affectionate.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying. And apparently she used to clean little man and be really sweet to him. And now she's like a typical Republican. It's like, times are bad. Every man for himself. And now she hisses at him, too.
Yeah,
now she hisses at everybody because it's like a territorial thing. And screw you. Things are bad and you're on your own. And I hope you die uninsured.
Yeah, they totally turn out like Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
They get all weird, and you know, you never know what they're going to do. So.
Yeah, she hisses at him like a Republican at a debate, hoping.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's
yeah, like
it's,
he's a gay uninsured soldier.
But mm-hmm. you know, look for the Jehovah Kitties next time.
All right, go Jehovah Kitty, yeah, Kitty. All right, Amanda in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph, it is so cool to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I actually have, I mean, it really is. You're excellent. I have a kitty named Guy.
Guy? As in Guy Lafleur?
As in Guy Lafleur.
Oh, that's awesome.
I used to live in France, and I love the name Guy, but he taught me something. Uh-huh. And if he's been drinking, it would be great for him to be the sexy liberal cat caller.
Okay.
Ding. Oh. Uh-huh. And the way it goes is...
Oh, wow. Right, Amanda, thanks for calling. We appreciate
not
it.
Very this, good.
No, all right, that was terrific. That was terrific.
This show has taken a turn.
Yeah, this is a little talent show.
Yeah.
Okay. Among heavy drinkers. Uh-huh. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is so cool. What is it?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. John Fugelsang joins us live in studio in the New York Bureau coming up. Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, our Tuesday pal, and former and future Congressman Alan Grayson, all on the big show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. We love it. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com right now. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. The promo code is Stephanie. Oh, I threw away the wrong piece of paper. Hang on a second.
Oh, boy. Good luck
to
you.
Sorry about that, everybody. All right, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere to join the party. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids? Yeah, here we go. There you go. Thanks. You okay?
The computer locked up for a
sure
second.
Sure it did. Okay.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, by the way.
What?
Do you remember the last week, the right-wing talking point, the Obama bashing thing was that Obama hates Israel and
yeah.
whatever because he's a Kenyan Muslim socialist.
Whatever.
All the things that make my mom's bird, you know, rub one out
yep.
when he's watching Fox News.
Yeah, great.
I love, did you see... I love that Netanyahu bitch-smacked David Gregory over that. Netanyahu rejects GOP critique. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
GOP presidential candidates ramped up discussion about Israel policy in the past week as Palestinian leaders pushed for the UN vote, obviously on full statehood last week. While GOP leaders have criticized President Obama and Democrats for abandoning the Jewish state, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, who might know a little something about that. Refuted those attacks. Israel enjoys tremendous bipartisan support, he said on Meet the Press. I think that bipartisan support is expressed by any person who happens to be the president of the U.S., including President Obama. When host David Gregory asked if Obama was as much a friend of Israel, oh, he's a scamp, that David Gregory, as President Bush was, Netanyahu replied, they're all friends of Israel, equally representing the friendship of America.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Netanyahu.
Thank you. Then he tried to get it. Then Gregory tried to, you know, say things that Perry and Romney said about Obama. Netanyahu pointedly declined to comment directly on their statement, saying to David Gregory, David, you're trying to throw me under the bus of American politics, and guess what? I'm not going to be thrown there. Go, Netanyahu. It's your birthday. Oh, he also went out of his way to praise President Obama, saying the president's attempt to dissuade the Palestinian push for statehood was a badge of honor. He said, I want to thank you, Mr. President, for standing with Israel and supporting peace. We both agree Palestinians and Israelis should sit down and negotiate. This is the only way to get a stable and durable peace. Okay. I don't think a lot of people, if you just watched, let's just say Fox, understood what that was all about. In their opinion, it was them trying to shortcut without having to give up peace and security for
right.
Israel. They were trying to just, you know, I mean, obviously everybody is for the Palestinians mm-hmm. having their own state. It's just, it's, anyway, all right. But it became that Obama hated Israel. Okay.
Boy.
Rick Perry to the right of Netanyahu on the subject of Israel. Think about it.
Yikes.
Get back to us. All right. Gretchen Carlson on the... Fox and Freaks.
Good morning, everyone. Monday, September 26, 2011. I'm Gretchen Carlson. Hope you had a great weekend.
Awesome.
President Obama
Thanks.
Is in full campaign mode now.
Uh-oh.
He's out west
Uh-oh.
Raising money, and his administration is working overtime now
oh, no.
to raise taxes. We'll bring you the very latest.
I love it. We're in the going into a campaign year.
Yeah.
Don't you love the fact the president, when he starts campaigning, that's not fair somehow. He's saying stuff about Republicans that are.
I've really liked the president the past couple of weeks.
Yes,
can I
me
just
too.
Say that?
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
I don't raise. Okay. It's the Bush tax cuts letting them sunset like they were designed to do.
Yep.
By George W. Bush. Yes. Raising taxes. Okay. By the way, yesterday I was joking about what the hell is 999.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just saying that if you flip it, it is 666.
666.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Herman Cain. But what a stupid, how stupid is that? It's we all play 9%. How the hell, what? Nine, it's one of those flat tax ideas. Everybody
yeah.
pays 9?
No.
No.
Most
can you imagine?
Most
we would be an even bigger deficit. If
yeah.
the rich are paying 9% tax?
Most flat tax proponents don't even give a number that low. They give 13%.
Yes. Yes. But
as a...
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Pizza guy. Okay. Neil Cavuto.
Charges of a lot of Chicago-style politics are coming to stay. Welcome, everybody. I'm Neil Cavuto. At a ratings agency that had the temerity to downgrade America's debt, the focus of a potential pile-on by no less than the American government. Standard & Poor's now twisting in the wind, pretty much alone, the only credit ratings agency reportedly being targeted by the Securities and Exchange Commission over friendly grades that it and other ratings agencies were handing out some 4 years ago.
So the Tea Party downgrade now is, of course, first of all, President Obama's fault.
And it's Chicago-style politics.
It's Chicago-style. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right, moving on. Rush Limbaugh.
Remember, folks, we were told that Obama would be the first post-racial president, post-partisan president. Instead, what do we get? He's not a post-racial. He is our most racial president that we've ever had. He's the most partisan president we've ever had. There's nothing post about him.
I see, because people have been, and Morgan Freeman pointed this out, unfortunately has brought a lot of racism
yes.
out because of President Obama being president.
Right.
So that makes him racist now, because yeah. people are being
because people like Rush Limbaugh are being
about the president. So that means it's his fault.
Yes.
Once again, you're blame the black man, essentially,
yeah.
because he's played things like Brock the Magic Negro. That means...
Yeah.
The president, you see, is not
is stepping out of line.
He's a racist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Being all black. Okay, Steve. Steve Ducey. Oh, he likes the 999 plan.
It looked like Rick Perry was going to absolutely walk away with it, but because he had a terrible performance at the Fox Google debate, people took a second look at Cain.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that is attractive about Herman Cain is his 999 plan.
It's awesome.
That is so simple to understand.
Yes, and awful. Simple
like,
and awful.
It sounds like a pizza deal.
It's bold, refreshing, courageous, and awful.
It sounds like a pizza deal. You get a large pepperoni and,
sure.
and twisty bread for $9.99.
Yeah, there you go, $9.99.
Yeah.
That must have stuck in his head. Thinks it's a good idea. All right, Brick Hume.
It has been nearly 23 years since Ronald Reagan left office, and the conservative base of the Republican Party has been feeling widowed ever since. While the party has nominated a series of next-man-in-line candidates who did not quite fit the Reagan profile, it has never lost its yearning for a second coming. That explains Michelle Bachmann's assertion the other day that this election cycle, quote, we don't have to settle, we can have it all.
Sure, and you got it all there in that Republican field. That's all there.
I would like a Reagan compared to what we have up there now.
All
They're
right.
far to the right of Reagan.
58 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang joins us and Charlie Pierce as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com. the Sexy Liberal website and Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Some new pictures up from Asheville, North Carolina.
Some nude pictures up?
New.
What?
New.
Oh, new.
Pictures.
Oh, that's different. Oh.
Including very artsy ones that John Fugelsang takes. Who
artsy.
Is
that means nude.
Yeah.
Art films.
We have said before, John Fugelsang is the straight Mapplethorpe. He is. He gets angles at these Sexy Liberal shows. It's like the gyno cam.
Most of those were taken by Charmian now, in fairness.
Oh,
I'm in
really?
Them. I couldn't have taken them. Yet.
The lovely and talented Mrs. Fugelsang. Hi,
was
John Fugelsang.
Good
in
morning.
He's in the New York Bureau. You know why?
Why?
Because Sexy Liberals, we're like superheroes. We just, Aisha Tyler can't be here this Tuesday because she's doing...
The Talk.
The Talk.
On CBS.
Yeah, so tune in. But John Fugelsang, of course, stepping into the breach. Good morning, John.
That show scares me, by the way. I love Aisha, and I have friends who work in The Talk, but it sounds like that's breakup language, you know? When someone has to have the Talk, you're done. You're finished.
Have
yeah, I don't want to have The Talk.
Let's skip The Talk. I'm getting my stuff, and we'll see you.
It's the anti-erection. It's
not time for The Talk. No, no.
Just that word makes men run screaming. Good morning.
I don't want the talk.
Good morning, Jim Ward. Was in Hawaii because...
Yes, on Oahu, because my wife, the former flight attendant, was meeting her old friends for the premiere of Pan Am.
And she was a flight attendant for Pan Am.
For Pan Am, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. That's what I was saying. It's Squeezy McPeel Field Pan's fantasy, and you married it. Yes, you did.
Yes. And, of course, all her old friends couldn't wait to regale me with tales of what a slut my wife was when she was faced with
great.
Regular, so, oh, this is fun.
You're like Catherine O'Hara's...
Thanks.
Jim, exactly. We could have told you those stories.
You're like the Eugene Levy of the Stephanie
exactly.
Miller
yeah.
Show.
Yeah.
Your wife has everybody.
Well, I think I regret is I wasn't slutty enough when I was a tour guide at Universal. Because I made the mistake of sleeping with other tour guides, and then it's awkward when it breaks up. You know,
right.
You got to talk together, doubling it. It's just awkward. You're supposed to sleep with the patrons.
Yeah.
You know.
Jim did, literally. Most people have regret over, people that they have. Jim's the only one that feels like he didn't enough people
right.
ever.
Yeah.
There's really not enough women.
I think
too many women
men,
that remain
I think most
un-
men have that affliction.
I can't remember the ones I actually did. Just the ones I didn't. I didn't pull the trigger. Damn it.
Whatever women are listening now, whoever you are, Jim regrets that he is not you. Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize for Jim's lack of sluttery.
Just when like of doing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We apologize.
I had too much koof. That was my problem.
Yes.
All right. I didn't even know how we got off on that little tangent.
Yeah.
All right. Sexy Liberal, John Fugelsang, what a show
in Asheville.
What a
show.
What a cesspool of sin.
It was a cesspool of sin. that's State Senator James Forrester who
Jim
called
Forrester.
It a cesspool of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But he's a latrine of loathing.
And by the way,
crazy.
He recommended, he gave a travel tip, he said he recommended if you are a homosexual that he would go to Asheville because that's where the homosexual mischief is. And he was right.
I thought it was the Minneapolis airport.
And I brought, I know, and I brought some more this weekend. By the way, Linda writes, Steph, the folks in the Virginia region are in need of Sexy Liberal triage.
My family's
We get requests, John, but this is triage. This is a request for Sexy Liberal triage.
My family's
There's
in Virginia.
There's a lot of sucking involved in that. I listen to your show on XM or listen to web streaming on Chicago's Progressive Talk. Yeah, John, lots of areas in need of Sexy Liberal triage.
Lots of areas. Well, it's a good thing you said that because we're working on some new dates for the beginning of 2012.
What? You know what? I'll bet you if you go to sexyliberal.com and click on the shows section, you might find a couple of surprises
really?
There.
Really? Yes. Yeah, well, they'd be surprises to me.
Roland and the Elves and I spent a long 11-hour car ride back from Asheville plotting.
No.
That's right.
Addis Ababa, hello.
Thanks, Continental.
Oh, my God.
No, there was a little weather in the New York area, I understand.
You know, I tell you, man, I flew in there and I had food poisoning when I flew down, which I got from, because I did Fox and Friends last week, so God was punishing me.
Yes,
and so
awful.
I was throwing up the entire first day I was in town, and then coming back, I had to do an 11-hour car ride because all flights were canceled.
Yeah.
But that Asheville audience, you sexy mofos, they made it so worthwhile.
It was awesome.
The pictures that you've posted just showing, the Asheville skyline and the mountains, those are just absolutely beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Really I never knew how beautiful Asheville was.
My
and
brother's
moving
there next year. I'm excited.
You know, we missed the flight on the way in. So I had the car that my mom changed the time on twice because of her masturbating fox bird.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that she got to Asheville on time, I had to land in Charlotte, so they had to send the car back to get me because,
Well, Pretty Boy should have covered for you.
Yes.
Filled in. Couldn't Pretty Boy pick you up at the airport?
No, Pretty Boy was too busy rubbing one out Neil Cavuto or whatever it is.
Bob Beckel.
I would hope to be Gretchen Carlson at least.
Bob Beckel.
Mark Levin. It's Mark Levin. Mark Levin did it.
All right.
Because you're sarcastic. And ultra left wing.
Speaking
of being sarcastic, you just can't see my air quotes right now.
All right. We, the sexy liberals, activate and take off for, Seattle this weekend. Only a few tickets left for Friday. We've got the big LA shows coming up. Only Friday tickets left for that one, October 21st. And then, kids, the party, the last weekend. Yeah.
San Francisco, be still your hearts.
I left my
because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming out to you
in San Francisco.
San Francisco, your favorite progressive hotties are here to recruit you.
It does fit well with San Francisco. It's very diverse.
On October 28th at 8 p.m., Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will perform live at the Broadway of the Bay Area, the Orpheum Theater.
Somebody did something big to get us here.
Tickets are available online at shnsf.com by calling 888-746-1799 or by visiting the Orpheum Theater box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in San Francisco.
Every other place in America is off limits to you except San Francisco.
Don't fault this show for shaking things up.
Okay. All right, Saturday sold out. Stop calling. It's only Friday.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the important thing with Seattle. Please, folks, Saturday's completely sold out. We have some seats left for Friday, but you're not going to get into Saturday. That's the way it is, Ringo.
People are making it up. I'm not. Go ahead. Try. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's going to be Mama's big 50th birthday weekend. Yay!
Half century old.
On Thursday.
You're going to be closer to 100 than you are to your birth.
Speaking of
and
sexy
you're
liberals,
still younger than everybody in YouTube.
I got a happy 50th birthday Yahoa from my friend Randy Rhodes.
Ah, oh cool.
She saw the pictures of my 50th birthday trip to France.
Yes,
France. Looks like a blast. Lisa's another anorexic beauty. She is not anorexic, and neither am I. When I saw her in Seattle, Randy's like, "Eat a sandwich." 16 after.
And then maybe you could have boobs like Randy's if you did.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No?
I don't. That's...
Oh.
Yikes.
Okay.
You look happy, dear. Happy for you. 16 after. Randy, she always signs it. She always tells me what time it is. Thank you, Hawa. And also, speaking of our sexy liberal circle of friends, Bob Maddow, Rachel's daddy, has called this morning to tell us Rachel won an Emmy.
What?
MSNBC won for the Rachel Maddow Show.
That's awesome.
Yahoo!
Well, well deserved.
She actually earned her Emmy.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh.
Speaking of awesome things from San Francisco, just saying, Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
Stanford grad. Bob and Elaine are coming to the San Francisco show where I will have an opportunity to spill wine on them. Like, I've baptized the Maddow family many times.
So they could be in the back row, and you'll be able to spill wine on them from on
stage.
How
do you do that?
This is the first year I met them. I said to Rachel, I'm really sorry. Spill wine on your family. Mom and your dad. Sorry.
They're coming.
Hopefully
they're coming
it wasn't after
the,
Labor Day.
Or was after Labor Day.
Yes, I spilled red wine. They were in white clothes after Labor Day. You know what? Someone should have beaten me to death in the bathroom like that movie, Patty Hearst. What movie am I thinking of?
What?
What movie I'm thinking of.
Serial Mom.
Thank you.
Yes. They beat Patty.
Jim, did you hear last week when I made a random Francis reference to the movie Francis? That same day, I ran into Jessica Lange hiking.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
And I blurted out, I loved you in Francis. And she looked at me like the freak that I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You moron.
What?
Wow.
I hated working on that movie.
I ran into her at a Thai place on my street, and I was too busy drooling over Sam Shepard.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, we have to finish up Right Wing World because you can't end your day without a Greg Gutfeld and
Gutfeld.
Eric Bowling on
Gutfeld.
The five.
Yeah.
This is the Postal Service's plan to get people to send more mail. But they're going to start honoring living celebrities on stamps. Eric,
scandalous.
Eric, what is yours quickly?
Two great conservatives, Mark Levin or Rush Limbaugh. I went with Rush Limbaugh, the man. He's got it all going on, right?
Wow. You are shameless.
That's how would they fit
stamp.
That on an envelope? Yeah, that's...
How about a Rush Limbaugh and Chris Christie stamp? How about that?
For bulk mail?
Oh.
Bulk mail. For bulk mail. Go, John. Go,
not
John.
Funny.
Not
it's your
funny.
Birthday.
Not funny.
It's your birthday.
Not funny.
Oh, okay. I'm praying Chris Christie runs. Do you love how the people who think that Barack Obama lacks the experience to be president really want Chris Christie to run? Is that funny to you like it is to me? I want people to hear all about how Chris Christie had to take a military helicopter to 1 hour of his son's Little League game and taxpayers paid for it.
By the way, someone sent me a picture of them shaking hands. Come on, that's funny.
Oh, dear.
It's a debate. It's, it looks, it's the number 10.
Limbaugh and
Obama
and
standing next to Christie.
Oh, Obama. Oh, okay.
It's like the number 10.
They do this. Like they're doing a little skit. Like they're doing the
Obama's
number 10.
Obama's arm disappeared momentarily.
Exactly.
Not funny.
All right.
Not funny.
Not nice. Not
no.
funny.
No.
We get
of course
to beat
not.
Chris Christie on the issues, kids.
Yes.
Of course we do.
Yes. But not he's on also, tissues. But he's also large.
As Frank Conniff said, he thinks Jersey is the Olive Garden state. That's not funny.
Hey, not funny, John. Not funny.
Well,
come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. All right. All right, kids. 17 after. Lots to get to.
17 after.
Yeah, exactly. 17 after. Back with more Tuesdays with Tugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
The politics of dancing are hollow in this message of the star.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, no. Well, I think now the campaign is all over. Dennis Miller has endorsed Herman Cain.
Oh.
That's just because he's a comedian.
Yeah. Well,
he was Rick was right. I've endorsed Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, boy. Here is Herman Cain.
With all due respect, political correctness is not one of my strong points. It is a lie. And it is class warfare.
Please. Mm-hmm. Oh, please. Yeah, I called the president a liar.
Yeah. Go to PolitiFact, folks. Go to PolitiFact and look up Herman Cain's reality. There's a great, great piece in PolitiFact. I'll post it on Sexy Liberal on Facebook and on my Twitter of all of his facts and what he's exactly been wrong about.
Well, you know, 999 is also the 911 in Great Britain.
It
That's
is.
You dial when you're,
yeah.
Mm. Your house
How
is on fire.
How stupid is that? It would replace the current tax code with a flat 9%? I mean...
It seems a little low.
We have a huge deficit now because the rich are paying, what, Jim, 30-something? It's ridiculous.
But it's not low for what they want. They don't want democracy. They don't want a republic. They want feudalism. Yeah. They want corporate feudalism where you are not citizens. You are serfs and consumers.
Exactly.
And it makes no sense. It's not good business. If you really want to help the rich, then you help the less fortunate because the less fortunate aren't going to sit on the money. They're going to flood the economy
stuff.
And buy stuff.
Let me read you this Herman Cain story because here's something I missed from the last election cycle. Someone with a really bad anger management problem. That reminds me of Grampy McCain. After
9.99 is actually his blood pressure when he gets
After a few caffeine heavy refills at our corner table, I asked him about President Obama's new effort to raise taxes on the wealthy, and Cain just about blew a blood vessel.
See?
Especially when I mentioned the part where Obama says it's about math and not class warfare, and then that's when he said, "Can I be blunt? That's a lie. You're not supposed to call the president a liar, but you're not supposed to call the president a liar. He shouldn't lie." It's not class warfare. It's highway robbery. He wants us to believe it's not class warfare. Okay, it's not class warfare. Pick my pockets, because that's what he's doing.
He just said it's not class warfare, so Herman Cain's a liar. Okay, great.
He said, and then he paused, took a breath, and said, "I'm not mad at you. I just get passionate about this stuff. I have to tell people because I get so worked up. I'm listening to all this bull that he's talking about fairness and a balanced approach to get this economy going." Yeah, if pizza guy needs to, needs to pay his fair share, then we're screwed, apparently.
We've been having class warfare for 30 years against working people in this country.
Yes,
so welcome to the party, Herman. What did you do in the class war, Daddy?
Right.
He's a cancer survivor, and have you heard him say if we had universal health care, he would have died?
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
So if you're too stupid to know how to own several pizza restaurants so that you can have enough money
crappy
to
pizza
buy your own insurance... Then,
yep.
Yeah.
He also said Planned Parenthood's early objective was to kill black babies before they came into the world.
Wow.
That's who we were talking about with Herman Cain.
Here's Herman Cain again.
People who have been a part of the, quote, political establishment, they are still in denial that this long shot has a shot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, then.
Hmm.
Did you see the SNL sketch? Funny.
Which one? The debate?
Yeah, the debate.
Yeah.
And he does a whole monologue
about... check my DVR.
Pizza, if you call, pizza will come. That was funny.
Yes.
I don't know what it had nothing to do. And then the moderator said, you understand that getting huge applause does not translate to votes. And he goes, I'm aware. All right. Rick Perry.
You know, I'd like for the federal government to do some of the things that it's actually supposed to do in the Constitution, like defend our borders.
Mm.
So Obama increasing the troops at the border isn't defending the borders.
No.
Obama having more deportations than Bush isn't defending the borders.
No, you know why
These
he did that?
These guys lie to their fans.
You know why he did that? Because he showed a moment, a sliver of compassionate conservatism, and he got booed at the last Republican debate.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now he has to meet
him. Yeah, for the DREAM Act type thing.
Yeah, that's him apologizing for having a soul.
Yeah. Mitt Romney.
When he was recently inaugurated, he went on the Today Show. And he said, look, if I can't get this economy turned around in 3 years, why, I'll be looking at a one-term proposition. I'm here to collect on that.
Okay.
Republicans just hate that Obama has not fixed an economy wrecked by Republicans.
Yeah, quickly enough. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, our Tuesday pal,
what?
Charlie Pierce. I see I was going to say the Boston Globe. And that would be
no.
Nice. Got himself a fancy new job at Esquire.
Esquire.com.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, back with Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're just a hard, scheming old woman, aren't you?
Ugly, too.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau with us this morning.
Good morning, children.
And by the way, like all women, my mom loves you. My 88-year-old Republican mom.
How'd it go? Yeah?
Yeah. Well, you know why? Because I told you, fortunately for me, she couldn't hear thing I said, because her hearing aids not so much, but you know what she loved? Your Chris Matthews bit, because she could hear it, because it was loud. She goes, oh dear, well, I love that, the Chris Matthews thing, because I heard that.
And that whole thing is making fun of Republicans, too, which is especially funny. I love your
it's
mother.
It's like Kathleen Madigan says Al Sharpton's her favorite TV show, because it's the only thing he can hear. So... Her dad and my
I loved having dinner
together.
With your mom was delightful, by the
she
way.
Is delightful.
I had a very nice dinner with her and a very good time after the show with her too.
I don't know what that means. She's all hands, kids.
In case you're wondering,
it's a little handsy.
I mean, I didn't know where Stephanie got this raunchy thing from, but I realized Stephanie's the mild one of the family. Okay.
Yep. All right.
Damn shame.
All right.
Charlie Pierce.
There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Wah, wah, wah. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, we had our launch yesterday.
You're of Esquire?
The Esquire.com political blog opened for business yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh,
I saw that.
Looky there. Yay. Yay. So,
man, I got Herman Cain fever, let me tell you. I was in Florida this weekend.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I got Hermania.
Listen, we were just
it's
saying.
It's twisted bread, isn't it?
I think now you have nothing to talk about because he got the big Dennis Miller endorsement. So now it's all over. Yeah.
God, he got the Dennis Miller endorsement. Where do you go with that?
Yeah. Where else do you?
I mean, it was a lot easier to make. It was a lot easier to make Dennis Miller jokes when he was a comedian.
Hey, that's
funny. Now Dennis Miller is a hero to millions of people who like cerebral jokes and defend Bush.
Yeah, exactly. What
both of them.
There's your demographic right there.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, what do you mean? I mean, it actually was a big deal, wasn't it, that, you know, Rick Perry campaigned as hard as he did there, and he got blown out.
He had a worse weekend than the Red Sox did. It was hard to believe. I think the reason, near as I could tell, unless you believe the conspiracy theory that the Romney people were, you know, throwing votes to make Perry look really terrible, Cain stayed and showed up and gave a speech on Sunday, and I think that's all those people were looking for, was somebody to reassure them that they were important.
Yeah.
This was a bizarre crowd, let me tell you.
Yeah.
This was a very strange bunch of folks.
Well, you were down there, right?
I was.
What? So, I mean, the thing to me, you know, you look at it from the outside, and, I mean, you know, Michelle Bachmann won Iowa, yeah, right? Herman Cain just won this. Mitt Romney's way ahead in where New Hampshire. I mean, this is a little, and now the latest thing is Chris Christie's going to get in. I mean, are they in as much disarray as it seems?
No, I've been to two straw polls now, and Michelle Bachmann won the first one, and Herman Cain won the second one, and I'm starting to doubt the efficacy of, like, straw polls.
Shocking.
I'm beginning to wonder if they're a real measurement of where we're going politically.
Oh, President Pat Robertson would disagree.
Oh man, but no, I think one of the intriguing questions is there really a Republican establishment anymore?
Yeah.
Or has it completely cracked under the pressure of surrendering to the fringe elements of the party? If there is a Republican establishment still, it will coalesce around Romney.
I've seen
you know. And I am not going to say Chris Christie is jumping into the race because the concept is just bizarre.
Yeah, because then the rest of the field would be crushed immediately.
If only by the gravimetric forces surrounding him.
Well, you know, interesting you talk about. Chris Matthews, I saw, played yet another clip of Barry Goldwater yesterday. And, you know, this is what they're talking about, is could it be a landslide of those kind of proportions if they pick somebody that is perceived as that kind of right-wing fringe?
No, because the unemployment will still be at 10%. Nobody's going to get a 40. State landslide with, you know, I don't care. Mm-hmm. They could nominate Herman Cain. They wouldn't win that many states. I mean, I think it was, you know, I think I think, well, of course, Chris is leaving open the question of who will be the Bill Miller.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing.
Campaign. Somewhere out there,
there's a
little 6-year-old girl saying, please don't pick my daddy.
And will his child be as ugly as I was? And we don't.
Oh, come on. Oh. You're adorable in Life magazine.
Oh, honey.
Yeah, Marco Rubio's kids are precious.
No, she was cross-eyed in Life magazine. Yeah. I saw the picture.
I had a unibrow.
Yeah.
And a natural afro. Now.
Oh, you didn't see the picture of her with Gerald Ford.
Oh, oh yikes, werewolves in London. All right.
did the caption read, Gerald Ford, parentheses, left?
Of course they're calling it, you know, campaign mode. The president's in campaign mode, but
campaign mode. He's running for re-election.
Yeah.
Guess what? There's a campaign going on.
Yeah, I know. I love it when they say, it seems like that it's not fair when he does it. Wait a minute. He's campaigning. But I think he's been great, particularly in the last couple of days. He told his audience, it was a fundraiser out here, placing Republican at the nation's helm would fundamentally cripple America in meeting the challenges of the 21st century. He said from the moment he first took office, there's been a constant ideological pushback against any kind of sensible reform that would make our economy work better and give people more opportunity.
Oh, you think? Who's the staff genius that clued him into that?
Well, I mean, but I think he's also, when he talked about the Republican debates, it's what we've all been saying. Like, who are these people? I mean, I think he really called them out and by name, right? You got a governor whose state is on fire denying climate change. He talked about the booing of, you know, a gay soldier, about cheering for letting uninsured people die. You know, I mean, it is a pretty sharp contrast this year, if nothing else, right?
The Republican Party is reaping what it's sown for the last 30 years. I mean, this is the field of candidates the Republican Party has been pointing towards ever since they decided that all the stuff, all the nonsense Ronald Reagan was saying, you know, could actually win them elections.
Yeah.
And that set them, that began the path down which they've inevitably come to this group of candidates.
Yeah. I love
that. It's only a matter of time before, if Christie gets in the race, before he starts getting flogged for blowing off the Ground Zero mosque.
Yeah. Is he going to get in?
I don't know. I mean, he seems to be talking to all the right people who can raise money, and the level of dissatisfaction with Rick Perry is really astonishing.
It happened
virtually overnight.
Well, Charlie, I was just going to say, you've been covering politics a long time, and that's what I thought. I'm like, man, that's one of the quickest implosions I've seen. He went from being, you know,
at the time of the Iowa straw poll, Rick Perry was Chris Christie.
Right.
Please get in the race. You can save us all.
Right.
And it took him less than a month.
Right. And was it all that debate, pretty much?
For the air to go completely out of the balloon.
Right. But was it all that debate, pretty much, or what do you think?
I think it's partly, I mean, I think it's part, it's both debates, actually.
Right.
But, I mean, you're looking at a guy that makes, you know, George W. Bush look like Richard Pryor when it comes to thinking on his feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if he gets tossed a question he's not ready for, it's really not pretty to watch.
Yeah.
Bush was coached. Bush was so coached within an inch of his life, and Bush was terrible at debates, but you knew he had studied for it.
Yeah, that's another thing that I would not, you know, if you're looking for, if Rick Perry does not turn out to be the nominee, if you're looking for reasons how he got submarine, don't overlook a good old-fashioned Texas pissing match. Karl Rove doesn't like this guy. And
yeah, that's right.
Has a really big Rolodex, as we used to say in the days of dial telephone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, but I think you're right. Thus far, he's shooting himself in the cowboy boot, isn't he? Because he's, I mean, you know, John Fugelsang, knows as a comedian, he mangled that thing so badly about Mitt being a flip-flopper. You know when you're in the middle of a joke and you're just like, you know what, I got to leave that by the side of the road. That's,
yeah, John's right. I mean, essentially what debates are where politicians learn to get heckled.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In John's profession, you learn to deal with hecklers or you die.
Right.
True, Charlie, but in Rick Perry's tenure, he has avoided debating. Whereas Mitt Romney's been running for president 5 years straight, Rick Perry has avoided being put in a position of debating. He avoided it with Kay Bailey Hutchison as much as
right.
he could, even with Kinky Friedman he hid from. And as a result of that big fish in a small pond syndrome, he's paying for it now.
I don't think there's any question. He's never really won an overwhelming electoral mandate against anyone.
Mm-hmm.
He has won. I mean, and that he can say. But look what you're dealing with he and Romney. It was really a remarkable thing over the weekend. Both of them did one really large, decent thing for the people who elected them in their states.
And they're both
Romney
running
with,
from it.
And they're both getting killed with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. And you know, when Rick Perry, God bless his you know, pointed little head, when he finally got to something approximating the truth and saying, look, if you're not giving these kids in-state tuition, then I'm sorry, you're heartless.
Yeah.
That killed him more than the actual position.
Yeah.
That
yeah. Having even a sliver.
The rest
yeah.
of the weekend. You know, we don't think these brown people should be getting special rights, but don't call us heartless.
Yeah.
Where do you go with
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be such a complete fake to be able to thread that needle.
Yeah, exactly.
And Mitt Romney's been working on being a complete fake for a long time.
He's very practiced. He's
and
polished.
He's good at it.
Charlie, for having braved Florida for us and getting your own Herman Cain mania, I would like to salute you before you go. Yeah, here we go.
So the liberals, they have an objective, destroy America. The objective of the liberals is to destroy this country. The objective of the liberals is to make America mediocre like everybody else who aspire to be like America. That's their objective.
Stupid people are ruining America.
Won't you like a Herman Cain?
To ease Sharia law into our government.
Won't you like a Herman Cain?
Stupid people are ruining America.
There you go, Charlie Pierce. Thanks.
Somewhere out there, Alan Keyes is slapping himself in the forehead.
Yeah.
Hey, now, Alan Keyes is the reason Barack Obama's president. Watch it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Exactly. Charlie Pierce, congratulations on the launch of Esquire.com. We'll be there reading your stuff. Love
you. See
you
next week.
All right, honey. There you go.
Well, Esquire.com's been there for a long time.
Well,
it's the politics blog.
Yes, the Charlie Pierce
exactly.
Is there you go.
Fantastic. I love the man.
By the way, speaking of the president talking about them booing a gay soldier, Michelle Bachmann, spokesman, said there was booing and cheering throughout the debate. Michelle didn't comment on any of it. But I'm guessing that not some ixnay on the gay stuff because of her big gay husband.
Yeah.
She probably doesn't want to get dragged into any kind of, you know,
by the
discussion.
Way, Kristen Wiig was
she's
very...
She's like, if I make a comment, they're going to bring up my big gay husband, aren't they?
Kristen Wiig was very funny as Michelle Bachmann during the debate on Saturday Night Live.
I didn't see it. I got to YouTube it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
We should point out that if gay marriage has been your Republican debate drinking word for the past three debates, you've been pretty sober. Apparently, the Franklin's focus groups show that gay marriage isn't testing very well to keep people in the paddock, and they aren't even talking about it as an issue anymore.
No. Oh, no.
Three debates in a row, it hasn't come up.
Really? Oh, if you got to cut down on your gay bashing on the Republican side, that is a bad day.
Mm.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Back again. Check it directed. Let's begin. Party on, party people. Let me hear some noise.
Stephanie Miller.
In the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here. A party over there. Wave your hands in the air. Shake the dairy, yeah.
Woot, there it is.
Woot.
I was looking for that.
There it is. Uh-huh. It's always in the kitchen drawer. That's where it is.
Yeah.
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. Jim in Seattle, where sexy liberals coming this weekend. Hi, Jim.
Good morning,
hi.
Stephanie and crew.
Hello.
Hey, Stephanie, I'm noticing here in Puget Sound / Seattle,
uh-huh.
now all these lovely budget cuts that the Republicans love to boast about, Well, I'm seeing medical professionals, important jobs being laid off. I'm seeing education being laid off. Now, it's a trickle-down effect that's negative. It leads into a goose egg. These people not only have no other where to turn to get another job, but now there's less people spending money back in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Same as, like, privatization with Social Security. People say, oh, we're going to save money on taxes. But, you know, the people behind that are going to run it are going to be Republican constituents and friends. They're going to make money off the program. They're not going to give money back in the community. It's not like an investment on Wall Street. You're not going to make money back on this. You're going to be charged double and triple, and pretty soon you're stuck in it. It's too late. You're stuck in it. And a lot of these people voting better, you know, wake up and see the realities that are taking place. The economy's not recovering. If tax cuts and budget cuts were so great, starting back with George Bush in 2000, why aren't we all rich right now, 11 years later?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well said, Jim. All right.
I'm waiting for my Reaganomics prize in the mail. When's my trickle-down prize going to show up?
Yeah, how did that go? All right. So we were talking about, we've been talking about the president mentioning the gay soldier getting booed, et cetera. And, oh, by the way, John?
Yes.
See, this is when my comedy bits from Sexy Liberal Show come true. We sent the photos of my girlfriend Lisa and I's trip to France.
Mm-hmm.
My friend George Brent, great photos of gay free. Wish I was there for that guest shot. See what I'm saying? You say gay men, just hear three-way. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Guest shot. That's a three-way joke. See?
Mm. Oh, okay.
If you're looking for proof that straight guys are lame, you're not going to run out of it with two hot lesbians, okay? Just saying.
By the way, did you see this story? Here's a controversy. The girl from the L Word?
Yeah, I heard
got kicked off a Southwest flight for kissing a girl.
What? Which girl? There were many girls in the L Word.
There were?
Leisha Haley.
Who?
Leisha Haley.
And she's with...
She was with the L Word.
Okay.
Well, now she's with some identified girls. She was kissing on a Southwest flight.
And apparently she filmed the entire thing.
I know. Well, this is actually a lesbian actress who starred in the L Word said she kissed a girl and got escorted off a Southwest Airlines flight Monday for doing it. She took to Twitter to call for a boycott of the carrier after a flight attendant told them other passengers had complained after witnessing the affection. Her first tweet says, I've been discriminated against since when is showing affection to someone you love illegal? Southwest responded on its website that Haley was approached based solely on behavior and not gender.
Yeah.
The airline's four-sentence response said passengers were characterizing the behavior as excessive. Jim, you would have been horrified. I know. A discussion followed on the flight. The airline said it escalated to a level that was better resolved on the ground.
Or in the bathroom.
Or by Jim Ward. You know what? He could be like a Squeezy McField Pants air marshal.
You know what?
He could be an air marshal for just this sort of thing.
Anybody.
Here, come on with me.
Anybody playing
We need to resolve this in the bathroom, the three of us.
God. Anybody playing deep, deep tonsil hockey on a plane?
I was just going to say, that's
inappropriate.
No, I mean, anybody. I agree. I don't think it's a gay straight thing.
I'd have to see the film.
It's inappropriate, but when's the last time you complained about a straight couple doing it? That's the thing.
But I don't like it when straight people do it.
I don't like it when straight people do it.
Give me a shot.
I don't either, but no one tries to get straight people thrown off a plane. That's what I'm saying.
By the way, remember Southwest threw director Kevin Smith off a flight for being too fat?
For being a fatty McFatterson.
So if you're
a
fat lesbian,
talk about that
you better not kiss on a Southwest Airlines flight because you are rude. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you remember he tweeted, Dear Southwest Air, I know I'm fat, but was the captain really justified in throwing me off a flight for which I was already seated? Yeah, that was bad. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he made it funny, obviously. But anyway.
Well, actually, he's talked about it since then, and he says it really, really scarred him. And it's kind of changed the direction of his work. It's really changed his life, that whole incident.
Actually, we saw some fairly portly pilots on our flights.
Excuse me?
Back to Hawaii. Yeah, it's like, wow, how do you, you know, pull up the yoke if it's, you know, like, they were not quite Chris Christie size, but yikes. I mean...
By the way,
it's fairly narrow.
I think I did mention this on the air, and I probably, but let's for Squeezy. It's for Jim, but I actually probably shouldn't talk about because I did join the Mile High Club. But okay, let me just say there's an exemption for international because it's like an 11-hour flight.
That's not an exemption.
And it was in the bathroom, so it's.
Mile High.
Is there a film?
How do you even get two people in one of those bathrooms,
Stephanie?
I mean, you can barely turn around and wash your hands after doing your business in those.
Oh, Jim, you just haven't tried hard enough.
What's that, John Fugel saying? Something you'd like to
say? On a plane, I bring a full supply of body grease and a shoehorn.
Would Air France like to know about this little incident in their lavatory?
Oh, please.
It wasn't Air France.
Oh.
Air France. You got to go a long way to top Depardieu.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Fugel saying they're quite enthusiastic. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'm not saying anything about in the bathroom at the Chicago show. I'm just saying I was trying to get in the bathroom and it was busy. It was full.
Oh my God.
Backstage. What? I've said it before.
Oh, sorry. Someone says you didn't fly Air France, you flew Aer Lingus.
Yes, of course.
Oh my God.
Everyone get in the penalty box.
Thank you, Milwaukee guy in the chat room.
I'm just saying there is an exception when it's internet. First of all, the lights are off and everyone's asleep, and so you're under blankets. No one's watching. That's different than PDAs, is all I'm saying.
High Club is Mile High Club.
Yeah. All right. Let's
go
to
Mensa. You're in it. You can't get out.
Let's go to Margaret in Asheville, North Carolina, who is at Sexy Liberal. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, how are you?
Good, honey.
I really enjoyed y'all's show. I've talked to you before. I met you before when you came.
Yeah.
And we are the same age, Stephanie, and you're looking great.
Oh, thank you.
Don't worry about it. But I have to say, I wanted to come up and meet John and Hal, but my husband had this huge allergy attack, and we had to leave.
He's allergic to you talking to other really handsome men, I'm guessing.
That's probably what it was.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even think of that. But I wanted to tell John that your Chris Matthews was hilarious. My husband was doubled over. I have not seen the man laugh that hard in I don't know how long.
Yeah. And that was the short version, too. I had to cut it in half.
Yeah, it made my mom hot.
Oh, my gosh. It was, and all of y'all, it was just great. It was wonderful to see so many like-minded people, especially when you do live in the Deep South.
You are surrounded by people who aren't that way.
So, thank
you. Well, thank you, honey. We're having the time of our lives. It's a big joyful noise, the Sexy Liberal Show, and we're glad you enjoyed.
Come back.
By the way, I wouldn't buy that allergy excuse again. Next time, play a little grab ass with Hal and John, all right?
Well, I think I just might do it.
All right, do it. I have an allergy, honey. Yeah, most husbands do when their wives are like, I want to go meet half the and Jeff Bezos. Oh, honey, of course. We got to go. Sorry. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
He was awesome. Thank you for the call.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama. Not only was the reaction of the audience who gave the Boo Soldier awful, but Rick Santorum is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, on two fronts. One, saying there was no sex in the military. In World War II, we used to give our GIs condoms.
Well, and also that them wanting special rights. How is the right to get shot for your country a special right?
Well, even as a straight man, that term special rights puts me on my last nerve.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, sir. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Alan Grayson and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, baby. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Sexy Liberal on Facebook, sexyliberal.com. Check it out. Coming to Seattle this weekend. A few tickets left for Friday. Only a very few, seriously. Saturday sold out. Same with, Los Angeles and San Francisco. Saturday shows all sold out. A few tickets remain for the Friday shows in October. Check it out.
Go for the Fridays, kids.
All right. And John's pervy, artsy photos from the Asheville show are up.
I'm not pervy, and I didn't take most of them.
Your pervy wife did. I apologize.
You know, I think the Friday shows are going to be more raucous than the Saturday shows, because you know how Friday's usually happy hour day where everybody's having a party?
Saturday's
usually
date
hard night.
I'll be road
it's
hard
Friday,
and put up wet.
Friday.
Yeah.
You okay?
He's singing Rebecca Black.
Oh. Yeah, I'll be road hard and put up wet by Saturday. I get me fresh when you won't question my freshness on Friday.
Well, you know.
All y'all that bought Saturday tickets.
We were having the debate all weekend in Asheville about the future of the matinee shows, because we had our first matinee in Santa Fe, and it was kind of awesome. Mm. You know, we do have folks
I don't think it's matinee material.
This show's matinee material.
No, it's not.
We do. There are
it's
seniors.
It's not appropriate for anyone.
There are seniors who like to be offended in the afternoon and don't go out at night.
All right. Speaking of sexy liberals, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so am I.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Mm. I have almost completed your red, white, and blue thong that you'll be wearing at the Fort Lauderdale show December 10th, Congressman.
Did you work on it last week?
Uh-huh.
I listened to the show last week. You weren't there.
Oh, that's because I was knitting your thong.
Well, you know, I have to tell you that most of the conversation on the show last week revolved around how great you look in tight jeans.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, she does.
And
well,
that is something I never hear on Rush Limbaugh's show.
You know, I read a story. You have to tell me this is true because I could not love you more. But did you actually go up to Newt Gingrich on the House floor once and say you gained weight? And I remember you as being thinner back when you were relevant.
Yes, I did say that.
You are awesome. You're my hero, Congressman.
Oh, God, I love you so much.
I was going to say the same thing to Rush Limbaugh.
Well, you know, I know that you probably love the way the president has been talking, because he's talking more like Alan Grayson these days, calling out Republicans on these debates. I mean, you got to be watching these debates like we are, going, "What? Who are these people?"
It's just nothing but Frank Luntz talking points, one after another. I'm going to write something about that this week.
Well, but not just that. As you've been talking about, and the press been pointing out, this audience reaction is really, because, you know, one time you can think, oh, that was an anomaly. But when, you know, you see a gay soldier booed, when you see executions being cheered, when you see cheering for letting an uninsured person die, I mean, it's a theme at this point.
Yeah, the entire right end of the political spectrum is having a public psychotic break.
And yet, Herman Cain, of course, won the floor. Were you surprised at that, the Florida straw poll?
No, actually, you know, I spoke to somebody who is an elected Republican official, and I can't mention his name because him being associated with me will tar his reputation forever. But he and I actually spent 45 minutes together discussing this, and he said that Cain makes a very good presentation in person, you know, face-to-face, talking to the man, you like him. And that works well in a situation like that.
Well, but it also is kind of a record implosion of Rick Perry, isn't it?
You know, look, you're talking about a room full of a couple of thousand people, a couple of thousand demented people for the most part. I don't think you can read a lot into that. I still think that Perry has a very good shot of being the nominee, and God help us all.
Yeah, yes, more importantly. So, you know, the president, obviously, the speech in front of the bridge, though, and then this latest speech calling out Republicans on the, you know, the debates. I do think it's a really sharp contrast this year, and he's got to keep doing that, don't you think?
He does, but he also has to demand things from them and make it stick. You know, he can't blow hot and cold day after day. You know, he has to say, this is what you need to do, and keep on them until they do it. For instance, you know, his jobs bill. If he says over and over again and says nothing else for the next few weeks, pass that bill, eventually it'll sink in. And I think that they may actually cave in, because they understand that they never offer anything even remotely resembling a policy, a program, a solution to people's problems. So that their Achilles heel is to say, this is what we need to do, let's do it.
Well, I mean, and look at this latest shutdown they just averted over disaster aid. And I love Mitch McConnell said this is a reasonable way to keep the government operational. Who thinks this isn't a reasonable way to do business, to come to the brink of crisis, of disaster, of default, of government shutdown almost every other week? One congressman I heard quoted, Alan, said this is the new normal here.
Well, it's more Orwellian right-wing language. War is peace.
Well, and look, and Mitch McConnell went on to say, in my view, this entire fire drill was completely unnecessary. Really? Getting disaster aid to Americans that have just been hit by disaster, that's an unnecessary fire drill?
They just don't want to do anything for anybody. And whatever words happen to come out of their mouths to try to rationalize that, that's the underlying truth. They don't want to help.
And Mary Landrieu, by the way, Senator Landrieu, Democrat of Louisiana, called out Eric Cantor. He's the one that, of course, said, oh, we've, you know, got to hold up this disaster aid for other cuts. She said that's the Cantor doctrine. And the controversy could have been avoided if Cantor had just said, I'm sorry, but I made a mistake. But instead of saying that, he doubled down.
Well, listen, they're the ones who established this bizarre misconception that we need to focus like a laser on what the deficit is going to be in the year 2021, to the exclusion of disaster relief, to the exclusion of jobs, to the exclusion of health, to the exclusion of peace.
Yeah. You know, the one poll I look at, and I'm sure you do too, for whether it's the president or Democrats like you that are trying to get reelected and deserve to be reelected, a new Gallup poll finds 81% of Americans are dissatisfied with how the country is being governed. Well, the problem is, obviously, the Republican Party's bringing us all down with them in a way, right?
Right, but the Democratic Party hasn't established itself fully as the credible alternative to that, because the Democratic Party has given in too often to Republican lunacy.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. But, I mean, that's what I like what the president's been doing in the last couple of weeks, is just drawing that contrast ever and ever sharper, right?
Right, but in the end, we need to show that we can deliver for people, and we can end the problems that they have in their lives that are too big for them to solve themselves. That's what the Democratic Party has to do. And in fact, if people thought and saw that we had done that for the past 3 years, then we wouldn't be anything like the situation. You wouldn't have seen the election results last year. You would have seen election results that resembled the Roosevelt election results in 1934 and 1936, where he actually built his majorities to the point where they were two-thirds of the House, two-thirds of the Senate.
I love your line in your piece this week. You say, if you're sick and tired of listening to fools and three-cornered hats lecture us about a constitution they know nothing about, you're not the only one. I mean, did you see those people dressed in those outfits? These Republican debates are like they're like some sort of awful Saturday Night Live skit, aren't they?
You know, it's like a Halloween Horror Night. We have Halloween Horror Nights here in Universal Studios in Orlando.
Right.
And that's what it resembles.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think?
By the way, do I get paid for that plug? I don't know.
You get that.
Right.
What I was going to say, so who do you think is going to come? I mean, are you still thinking it's going to be Rick Perry or?
Oh, I think that it'll be likely Perry or Romney, but, you know, bear in mind that at one point we all thought Howard Dean would be president, so it's a little bit early to be making that judgment.
Exactly.
Yep. All I hope is that we have a Congressman Alan Grayson again, sorely needed. Congressman, love you. Do you have December 10th on your calendar?
I do.
Okay. All right. Former and future.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I want a close look at those jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you will.
Okay.
We don't call it the meet and grope for nothing.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Love you, Alan Grayson.
Same here.
All right.
I think he loves tight jeans on you.
You'll see more than that at Sexy Liberal. By the way, John Fugelsang,
yes.
My 88-year-old Republican mom, I called her yesterday to make sure she got home safely, which she did.
That was big of you.
Delightful time. However, she had written down some questions to ask me, as she always does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Steffi, I wrote down some things to ask you because I've forgotten. Now, when Hal was on top of you on stage, what was that, dear? I swear to God, that's what she said. I was like, Mom, it's teabagging. You know what? It's not important. She goes, well, what? I didn't understand that, dear. I was like, you know what? That's probably good. It's probably good. That was, you know.
Everybody get up on your feet. You can't see this if you're in your seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check the Sexy Liberal Show. Well, Steph will show you something if you don't know. She teabagging.
Yeah, we go.
She teabagging.
Oh, no.
She teabagging. She teabagging.
Woo! All right. Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Yeah, you can imagine how proud she would have been had she had any idea what I was doing. All right. But she enjoyed that Chris Matthews impression. Yes,
I'm
sir.
Sure
she heard
did.
That.
Fair enough.
I love that, John.
American
Fugelsang.
Exceptionalism.
I loved your mother. She was delightful. I kept expecting her to be some you know, right-wing ditto head.
No.
But she told me, she's like, I watch MSNBC and Fox every night so I can
really?
Have balance. And I was,
wow.
She's 87. She was wonderful.
You
should talk to her sometimes, Steph. She's an interesting person.
I talk to her all the time, and I can only hope to have the grace and courage and class my mom does.
Yes,
all right, there's no
lovely.
Jokes there, just truth.
But all hands.
Gulp. No, she was great. It was great to see her. Now you're going to make me cry. I love my mommy. I really do.
She was wonderful. I hope she comes to more shows.
I will. Let's,
we've
let's...
already been invited back to Asheville.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and as it turned out, I worried unnecessarily about her seeing the show because she really, that way she was able to be included, John, and I didn't realize she would hear nothing.
She was brilliant.
I was just kidding, by the way, on stage. I didn't steal her hearing aids. They just didn't work very well. All right, 17.
And the crowd loved her, too.
Oh, she was a bigger rock star than I was. People were lined up around the block to meet my mother. She was, you know, she did her own meet and grope. Yeah. All right. Kids, 17 minutes after the hour. Carbonite. Am I unnecessarily excited about our sponsors? I don't think so.
No.
Because they're genius ideas. Carbonite in particular. I mean, computer disasters, they happen to everybody. Computer, virus, you get a power outage, you spill something on it, you lose it, and there goes all that stuff. Carbonite Online Backup, you can rest easy. You can lose everything in there that you have. Photos, financial records, all your music collections. Do something about it right now. You'll thank me later. Carbonite Online Backup. With Carbonite, you set it up once, you relax. All of those files automatically backed up and whenever you're connected to the Internet. Carbonite, only $59 for the entire year.
That's a bargoon.
You know when you've lost all your stuff, you would pay $1 million.
Yes.
to get it back, but you don't have to. $59 the entire year, unlimited backup, plus anytime, anywhere access to all of those files.
That's right. And if you have the Carbonite smartphone app on your phone, you have access to every single one of your files when you're on the road.
Yes.
That's incredible technology there.
Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. You're too little too sincere for it to be an infomercial sidekick.
Hey, you know what? You know what? I pay for Carbonite.
I know you do.
Yeah, I don't get it free. So I really like that service.
Exactly. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Under a blanket on an airplane.
Was it in the bathroom or under a blanket?
Lisa just texted to say her mom heard that. Sorry.
Sir,
23
all right.
Minutes after the hour.
Maybe her mom is a member of the Mile High Club,
probably.
Too.
Probably. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Edwina in Columbus, Ohio, on the booing of the gay soldier. Hi, Edwina.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I think that everybody's got it wrong about gays in the military. We're not asking for any special treatment or anything like that. It's just more comfortable to be able to be yourself than it is to be in a closet all the time.
Edwina, I think it's more comfortable for everybody, frankly, don't you?
Yes. And even in my own unit when I was in, I just retired, actually. They were comfortable with me. I didn't have any issues at all whenever I did come out in my unit. And I think society as a whole has the wrong picture as to our impact on how the military would run.
Somebody, Edwina, someone just emailed me and said, you're stupid. They were booing the policy, not the soldier.
That's complete utter BS.
Yeah, come on.
Rubbish.
I saw it. I didn't see the debate, but I did see the film of it afterwards, and I truly believe they were booing the soldier, not the policy.
Yep, yep, I agree. Thank you, Edwina. Yeah, don't, you know. All right. Yeah, and by the way, I get so many emails with subject lines, you're stupid. It's hard to know which ones to open first. But apparently I'm stupid because I think that seemed a little homophobic, the booing of the gay soldier. Skosh, to me. All right. John Fugelsang, you were on Chris Hayes' new MSNBC weekend show.
Yes, it's called Up with Chris Hayes, and I got to be on the premiere and meet Speaker Pelosi. Yeah. It was a great time, and everybody should watch it.
Not just meet Speaker Pelosi. You got to hit on Speaker Pelosi while getting it a plug for Sexy Liberal, which...
I actually asked her to be my date to the San Francisco shows.
You're my king. You are my king.
Mm-hmm. That was me, yes. And 48 hours later, I was with Governor Rick Scott in the Fox News green room, just to have something for the other hemisphere of my brain.
Did you, I don't blame you for getting food poisoning because you were in the green room at Fox with?
With Michelle Malkin. Dana Perino.
Oh. That's nauseating already.
Governor Rick Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he who armed both sides of the Iran-Iraq war, because that's what patriots do, Oliver North.
And the
band Foreigner as well, although by Foreigner I mean the guys in their 40s who were like in grade school when Foreigner was having hits, but the scab Foreigners.
Hot-blooded Foreigner?
Wow.
Right. Foreigner was the entertainment for the, it was the Fox and Friends anniversary.
Foreigner.
They had Foreigner.
Wow.
Check it and see.
They hate Foreigners.
That's the thing. We're in the green room, and I'm saying in the green room, I'm like, does anyone realize the irony that a Fox News audience is cheering a band called Foreigner? But they were Foreigner like ELO2 or Creedence Clearwater Revisited, you know, like Mick Jones wasn't even there. It was like the three other guys that joined Foreigner in the last 10
years. I can't remember their songs, and that's my era.
I want to know what love is. I want to know what love is. It's a great song.
Yeah,
they could have replaced him with the other Mick Jones from The Clash, and they wouldn't have known.
Yeah, there you go.
Wrong Mick Jones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I was excited to meet Mick Jones. He produced a Billy Joel's Stormfront record, but Mick was not feeling well. So, and then there was alligator wrestling as well.
See, he was sick, too.
Foreigner and Styx. Now you're talking my high school language.
Well, I called them Foreigner so people would feel safe around me, like the president.
How about We Will Rock You? Who is that?
That was Queen.
Queen.
That was
Queen. That's different. Yeah. That was our other big song.
Stephanie, we don't have any foreigner in our massive music system here.
Right. I want to know what love is. It's a great song, man. Yeah. But it was really fun. And I got to be honest, my Fox and Friends friends were very nice to me. The last time I did that show, those guys didn't even look at me. But we all went out to dinner the night before, and no one caught on fire. It was rather pleasant. There was one lone protester in the village carrying around a Fox News Lies sign, and he was my hero.
Aww.
But a lot of racial tension there in the villages, let me tell you.
I wanted to ask you, this is the reason I brought this up is because Karen Hunter, who's an African-American author, who I know who's great, she was on Chris Hayes. Did you see this segment? She was saying, the question was the Associated Press transcription of Obama's Congressional Black Caucus speech racist? We have some audio of the president.
The coverage of it was racist.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. Here, this is the president at the...
Take off your bedroom slippers. Put on your marching shoes. Shake it off. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying.
And what she was saying, John, is that routinely they clean up transcripts, but with this one, they actually dropped the G's like he did. And what she's saying is that's inherently racist.
G dropping is racist.
Mm. Right. But when Sarah Palin does it, it's folksy.
Uh-huh.
Well, they used to clean up George Bush's to make him seem less, stupid, to make him seem... they would correct the thing, like, you know what I mean? They would correct things, whereas in this case, they just did the actual transcription.
Right.
The
amazes my mother.
What I found strange was that the entire speech was Obama giving a pep talk to the Congressional Black Caucus about the threat from the Republicans, and all the white news media talked about how it was Obama scolding the Congressional Black Caucus for being whiners. I mean, it was really a great event. If you had to watch the entire speech, go on YouTube, because it was a great, fantastic, inspiring speech.
The guy that was on opposite Karen, a New Republic guy, he said he noted the president's victory in the 2008 election was due in part to how effortlessly he can switch into that black dialect. So he said it was not racist. I mean...
You play to the room you're in. George Bush didn't use his southern twang with every room he spoke to either. It's got nothing to do with race.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, we will talk about it after the break.
Okay.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Tuesdays with Tugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're my moon goddess.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, Chris in Yankton writes, you guys don't have any foreigner in your music at the studio? That's cold as ice.
Yeah.
You should go get some. It's urgent. Get in there. Like something there like that was yesterday. Urgent, quite a good song. Waiting for a Girl Like You spent 10 weeks at number 2 on the Billboard chart.
Remember.
Blockaded behind Olivia Newton-John's.
And now... Back to the countdown.
And now, back to the countdown with VJ John Fugelsang.
Good afternoon. We're playing your favorite light hits.
All right. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the president's speech to the Congressional Black Caucus. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Rachel really broke down the lies that was told over this whole speech in the media yesterday.
Didn't she?
Okay. She basically said on her show last night that he had said the same exact thing except for to stop complaining and 4 different other speeches tailored in a different way. Now my point on this whole thing is I think it was right because you didn't see Obama complaining that they had pictures of him with a bone through his nose. You didn't see him complaining that they were blocking all of his whatever the Democrats wanted to pass in the House. You didn't see him complaining about any of these things. And you know, for the people who he was talking to, I think that they should look at what happened to these young kids out in New York the other day. They were being pepper sprayed on a damn picket line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian, what did you think of that, the topic we were talking about, whether it was racist of them to drop the G's in the actual transcript?
Oh, I saw that. The AP did that. I was appalled.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What does this man have to do to get some respect?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's disheartening to me, and thank God for you guys. Thank God for Rachel Maddow. Thank God for Ed Schultz, because I'd be a nervous basket kid. case if it wasn't for you guys.
All right, Brian, thank you. And ironically, I am a nervous basket case, as you know, Dom.
Well, the good thing about it is, keep this in mind, folks. You know, every time there's any bit of racism thrown at the president, and again, it's not garden variety bigotry. It's institutionalized racism that we don't even notice in some cases. That's what racism is. Digital is forever. This is going to be shown in history classes for years. The fact that the G's aren't removed from transcripts of Sarah Palin speeches or Bush speeches, but are removed from Obama speeches, will go on the official record of the early years of the 20th century. This is how we still are. And congratulations for being on the right side of history.
The president, we were talking about, you know, he's been calling out Republicans on the debates and all that. So Lady Gaga was at his latest fundraiser. And she didn't sing. She reportedly asked him a question, though, during Q&A and thanked him for all he's done for the country. Read a letter about her late fan, Jamie Rademeyer, who is a gay teen who killed himself from my hometown, from near Buffalo. Lady Gaga thanked Obama for hosting his anti-bullying conference with Michelle Obama and then made a general plea to everyone in the room, including the president, to do what they can to prevent bullying. A source told ABC Obama reportedly talked about his administration's anti-bullying campaign, then more generally about the importance of values of who we are as Americans. And I love that line, didn't you, John, when he said, this is not who we are as Americans.
Yeah. And he's right. And that's what made him famous in the first place with his Democratic Party convention speech in 2004. You know, it is one America. And the overwhelming majority of conservative folks and liberal folks are getting along just fine right now in America. The politicians and the media want us to think it's this great fight between all of us. But it's really, you know, people get along great. We disagree on politics. But the overwhelming majority of conservatives don't hate gay people. They really don't.
This is going to make the right wing's head explode. After this latest suicide, Lady Gaga wrote that she believes bullying should become a federal offense. She wrote, Jamie Rademeyer, 14 years old, took his life because of bullying. Bullying should become illegal. It's a hate crime.
Yeah, well, you know how I feel about it. I think we should stop calling it bullying. I've got a video I did about this for Laura Flanders' show, Grit TV, that, you know, I think bullying is an archaic Archie Comics term that does not do the justice to the kind of brutality that would make a young person want to take their own life. Call it criminal harassment, call it un-American persecution, call it terrorism, but people aren't going to take it seriously until we get into the 21st century, and get a word that describes the kind of persecution that's being laid on these kids. Bullying is a child's term.
And what was particularly sad, I know in that case, John, he had made an It Gets Better video. Urging Outkast and the bully to keep going and brush off the mean kids. He said, it gets better. Look at me. I'm doing fine. I went to the Monster Ball, and now I'm liberated. It gets better. He had apparently thanked Lady Gaga in his last blog post, you know, before he killed himself. It's just a sad, sad story. In fact, I heard from one of his teachers, John, and I think we're going to give some sexy liberal proceeds in Buffalo to some groups that are trying to help up there. Your mama's hometown. All right.
Very nice.
The host of Bravo's Millionaire Matchmaker? Who watches
Patty
that?
Patty Stanger.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Speaking of bigotry. Oh, gosh. She was on their call-in show and made disparaging comments about Jewish and gay men. She said she was talking about long-distance relationships. She said in the gay world, it'll always be open. There's no curbing the gay man. She also stated that Jewish men lie. Oh, dear. And last week, she suggested women are better off hiding their intelligence in front of men. She said, you got to dumb it down a little because men aren't that bright. Not for sexy, smart, liberal men like John Finkelstein and Hal Sparks, you don't. People still saying stuff like that? Really? Your wife is incredibly smart, John Finkelstein.
Men lie. I mean, men lie, period. Jewish men
lie. Women never do. Of course not. You keep telling yourself that, John.
All right.
Fair enough.
Jim, you always like to alert to when there's been a significant reduction in the price of a home here. Hillary Duff has lowered the price of her home, Beverly Hills home, to $6.25 million.
Oh, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Almost 10,000 square feet. It features a wet bar, a cognac room. You know what? I'm not paying that without a cognac room.
You need a specific room for cognac?
Uh-huh. A wine cellar.
She's 23. Why does she need a cognac room?
A wine cellar, a gym, and a gift wrapping room.
I only have a cognac nook in my place. It's embarrassing.
Listen, if you're drinking cognac and your gift wrapping room, you know what? Something's gone wrong in your life.
Then you belong in the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
You are a loser.
I have a Pabst Blue Ribbon room in my house.
Oh, boy. Madonna lets Lourdes, her daughter, pick her backup dancers. A lot of excuse me, Jim?
Nothing.
You said something squeezy.
Yeah,
she is beautiful, she's always looked 40, hasn't she?
She was born 40.
She's always looked 40 to me. I don't know why. A lot of the dancers were upset because Madonna wasn't involved at the audition stage. Just the 15-year-old was there picking the dancers. Madonna wasn't.
Great.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah. I'm guessing no dancers that brought hydrangeas were hired.
No. Boy, she's going to be pleasant to be around when she gets older.
She hates hydrangeas.
Wow. That's weird.
Madonna's played that very well, by the way. She's going to have so much hydrangea jokes on her next tour.
Exactly. Kim Kardashian has been voted most annoying celebrity.
Well.
Charlie Sheen, number 2. Snooki, number 3. Lindsay Lohan, number 4. Donald Trump, number 5. Not number 1, but still huge.
Huge.
What about most inexplicable celebrity? That's the poll I want to see.
Hair is inexplicable.
That's true.
Yeah.
In a sad note, the creator of Doritos has died at the age of 97.
97.
Go on. Keep dying, inventors. We'll make more. Oh, come on. He was 97.
They did throw a bag of Doritos in with his ashes.
They did. Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
The family threw Doritos in before they put the dirt over the...
Ashes, now in Cool Ranch flavor.
Okay.
There was a website yesterday that ranked...
That urn smells delicious.
There was a website yesterday that ranked the top 50 Doritos flavors.
See, they shouldn't have published...
50 flavors of Doritos.
They shouldn't have publicized
and it's all
that.
All monosodium glutamate.
Because there's going to be some really desperate stoners digging up that grave. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. See what I'm telling you? There's munchies now.
Although taco flavored Doritos are the best.
Dan in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dan.
Hi, thanks, Steph. Hey, just a quick question. How do you spell "I'm the Decider"? How do you spell "Decider"? Decider.
D-E-C-A-H-H-H-D-R. How do they take all of the vowels out of the vowels out of words?
I-Z-H-R-U-L.
Like foreign terrorists. Merca.
Merca needs stand with
foreign terrorists against America.
All right. And finally, Prince William has revealed his grandmother, Queen Elizabeth, is an important part of his life who gives him invaluable advice.
Which one are you again?
Yes, we have that, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Where's there it is. It has come to our attention that the heir to the throne, if you don't count Charles, and no one does, including ourselves, that the true heir to the throne, Prince William, has been eager to hear our advice on a number of subjects. There is no question you cannot ask that you will not already know about, the boy has opined. True dat. On matters philosophical, historical, and sexual, especially sexual, we are full of useful advice. But we feel it is important to let the lad work things out for himself first. One has to do what one thinks is right. If one were to be presented with the opportunity for a three-way with, let's just pull a name out of a hat, President Sarkozy and his delightful bit of crumpet, Carla Bruni, by all means, the correct response is hell to the wee. Similarly, if young William were presented with the opportunity for some aerial hanky-panky with his blushing bride and her equally delectable sister Pippa, Pippa, perfectly proportioned popo, off of which one might bounce a shilling, yummy. By all means, become a member of the Mile High, or in the case of the Sarkozys, 1.609344 kilometer high club. And you shall be powerfully amused. QE2 out.
Kim Jong-il.
What happened? Hey.
Nice.
Hey, John Fielder, I wonder if there might be any special appearances at the L.A. Sexy Liberal show.
Well, that's something
we're... Mookish nature or not. We'll see.
We're having a meeting about that, aren't we?
We'll see.
I'm working on Carla Bruni.
Who's
myself,
who? Well, all right.
Who
is saying.
In Midnight in Paris.
Midnight in Paris. She's very foxy in Midnight in Paris, too. That's, by the way, a great movie. Everybody,
it is.
August in San Antonio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, August.
Hey, I'm just curious, exactly how is writing a speech out exactly as the president said it considered racism? I mean,
it's
really
because when
you
don't
have,
do it, it's because you don't do the same thing as Sarah Palin.
I've never seen an example.
She does.
Example. I'll give you my email. Send them to me.
She does end dropping all the time.
She does end dropping all the time, and they don't write that exactly. Right. They clean it up, is what I'm saying.
Same with George Bush.
Uh-huh. George Bush, they would literally correct things he got wrong.
It's weak, is all I'm saying. It's weak.
Dude, it's not weak. It's just a fact. You don't have to like it, mister, but that's the way it is. When these guys contract their G's and drop it, Palin and Bush, AP corrects it, and they write in the exact word. When Obama did it, they took it out. That's the facts. We didn't make it up. That's the way it is. So go ahead and call anyone racist you want to call racist, pal, but it's a double standard. You can't deny it.
That's so weak.
Dude, what am I saying that's not factual? You can't deny it.
It's factual, but it's weak.
Yeah. give me your email.
It's like garlic to a vampire. He can't. Don't hold up the truth. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Tuesdays with Tugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. I can't risk losing my important computer files. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite automatically backs up all those computer files whenever you're connected to the internet. Could not be easier. Go to Carbonite.com today. Now, do it. Try my offer code Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Art in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Art.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Love you guys.
I love you back.
Hey, listen, I was thinking about what you were talking about with bullying, and John, I totally agree with you about what an archaic word that is.
Thanks.
I'm a high school theater teacher, and we had a young man kill himself a couple of weeks ago. It was the same thing. He had been, and again, it's a stupid word, but bullied, picked on. One of the good things to come out of it is there's been a lot of conversations with the kids about this. And in my classes, I had kids start talking about times that they were harassed and picked on. And at the end of the class, I would always ask them, raise your hand if you have been picked on. And about 90% of them in every class said that. And we started talking about we should do a show of some kind where kids could tell their stories and put it all together in some way to maybe do a fundraiser for a group in town or something like that. So there's some good that can come out of it. But, man, it is just out of control.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. John, by the way, a weird, not-so-fun fact, my childhood bully wrote me for free sexy liberal tickets.
Yeah. I've got a theory about that.
Yes.
I don't think people remember when they were bullied. They don't remember who they bullied.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
It's like, you were what now? I did what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wanted to get together.
You're imagining it.
I was like,
because the leading cause of being of persecuting someone is having someone do it to you. And maybe your dad did it to you, so you took it out on another kid, or another kid did it to you, you took it out on another kid. But we always forget who we were jerks to. We just remember who was a jerk to us.
Yeah. Mark in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mama. This is your official Mormon Jew calling in.
Hello.
Wow.
Hello.
Hey,
that takes some doing.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I had to call because I was watching the Today Show, and Ann Curry was interviewing the parents of the boy in Buffalo who committed suicide, and they were talking about a wake that the school was holding in his honor, and they played the Lady Gaga song, and a lot of kids were, you know, cheering the boy's name, but then apparently, according to the parents, a bunch of the kids who were actually bullied the boy started chanting things like, oh, we're glad you're dead. You deserve to be dead.
Right.
And just listening to his parents talk about that, it was just, how in the world?
Mark, you know, you watch these Republican debates and this mean-spirited booing and cheering of, and that's what you wonder. Like, have we gotten meaner as a society? Is it the economy so bad?
We've gotten better. It's never been harder to get away with persecuting a gay kid than it is today. It's going to be harder in a year. It's going to be harder in 5 years. It is getting better, and it's getting worse for homophobes.
Well, and I hate to bring it all back to,
Stephanie Miller.
You know how that pains me, but I'm just saying, John, you and I have talked about, and not to make it about us, but the success.
It's all about us. Come on.
But the success of the sexy liberal tour, I don't think it's even just so much us. I think, you know how many people say that to us? Like, we thought we were alone. And it's more of an idea than it is the specific people, even. It's that people feel, you know, they watch these debates and they think the same thing the president just said. This isn't who we are as Americans.
And
we're doing comedy that is the opposite of the, you know, racist, homophobic stuff that you see in a lot
of
comedy clubs.
And I'll never forget when I was a kid and we had Operation Desert Storm to reinstate the dictator of Kuwait. And, that was a very popular war, 93% approval war. Of course, we later learned half our troops were killed by friendly fire. It was women are still property in Kuwait. It wasn't about freedom at all.
And
it felt so insane to be the one person who was opposed to it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any friends who were against that war. And I went to see George Carlin at Westbury Music Fair, and he came out on the Jammin' in New York tour and opened with a 20-minute piece tearing that war apart, and the artist that he was made me feel less alone. And that's my wish for this tour, that, you know, if you're out there and you're a progressive and you know history's going to going to prove you right. You know these people are defending Reaganomics ideas that didn't work and Bush economics yeah. ideas that didn't work. And you feel crazy because everyone at your church or your job is just a ditto head. We are coming to your town because, damn it, you're right. You're ahead of the curve, and we're going to remind you of it, and we're going to make it really funny in the process.
It's, as the president says, it is a really stark contrast this year in you know, priorities and who we are as Americans. The president talking about the Republicans.
Old worn-out ideas. That yep. were tried yep. throughout the last decade.
Thank you, John. There you go.
Where corporations get to write their own rules. And
he's stealing from you.
Those
again.
Of us mm-hmm. who've been most fortunate get to keep all our tax breaks.
Yeah, the president once again talking about his tax plan.
We're not talking about going to punitive rates. We're talking about going back to the rates that existed as recently as in the 90s.
Yes.
When, as I recall, Silicon Valley was doing pretty good.
Yes, I recall that as well. One more with the president.
The problem is that things have gotten so ideologically driven, and everybody's so focused on the next election.
Yeah, by the way, as you know, we just narrowly avoided a shutdown again
yeah.
mm-hmm. over helping our fellow Americans that have been hit by disaster. Senator Harry Reid.
On the eve of the government shutting down next Saturday, just a few days from now, and FEMA on the verge of having no money, they left. They're gone. They're not in Washington. Real hard to negotiate with people who aren't here.
Oh, suck. Don't talk to me that way in front of the help.
Misplaced priorities.
Yes.
In the other headline, Perry appointees may raise public school funds to give oil refineries $135 million tax break.
God.
That's what this election is about. Pat in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Pat.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Yeah. Go ahead.
I wanted to speak about the Black Caucus.
Uh-huh.
About the Black Caucus.
Please. Please do.
Yes.
Okay. The people, they're saying that he was complaining. He has all the right in the world to complain because they sat on their butts while the Tea Party and the Republicans just disrespected the president like he was some kind of dog or something. And now I didn't see not one black person come on TV and say, you should not disrespect the president,
yep.
calling him a racial name. And for the, and a lot of them, they, Al Sharpton said, because I know you don't watch Al Sharpton, but Al Sharpton told
I do watch all, Al Sharpton. I watch every day.
Did you see him yesterday when he told them all, you didn't, when President Clinton was running and
yep.
nobody complained, they called him the first black president, and then when the first, real first black president comes into office, you sit back and you don't do anything. So the Black Caucus, and I, can you tell me, was Maxine Waters for Hillary in the beginning?
Oh, you know what? I don't remember.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't think it's fair to say they've done nothing. There's a lot of real heroes in the Congressional Black Caucus, and they've never criticized Obama as a person. They've criticized some of his policies and his lack of fighting back on some of these GOP policies.
No, I'm not saying that the Black Caucus didn't do anything. I'm just saying when he's talked to them on whatever day that was, when he talked to them, I'm not saying he was complaining to them. I'm speaking for myself.
Yep, I hear you. No, I hear you. Time to all come
great
together.
Great show.
Oh, yay, because you were here. John,
I'm
going to
be at Occupy Wall Street all afternoon. Come find me down there.
Woo-hoo!
I'm going to the protest today.
Woohoo! And we'll see you tomorrow for Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.